This is Family Court Vision,
the podcast where a man and his mom discuss all things basketball.
On today's episode, we have MNBA news. Hashtag enough is that our new campaign slogan for our social media campaign. Is the NBA ready for a 31st team? Why are the reviews now longer than the whole freaking game? WNBA news, 3x3, or is it 3x3, 3x3, 3-on-3? I don't know what it is, except there's four people on it. Movie review of the week. Oy vey. And our all-star team prediction, even though Jack couldn't think of a nice title for it, like Dream Team, I thought of it, Queen Team.
Queen Team. Mm-hmm. Very nice, Mom. Very nice work on that intro. That was, I think,
thank you.
Some of your best work, all of that.
Thank you. See?
Really good. Uh-huh. All right, bodes well for the rest of the episode. Thanks for being here. Let's boogie.
Welcome to episode 26 of Family Court Vision. It is 7 p.m. on Wednesday, June 23rd. What's up, Jack?
Good job beating me to that.
Uh-huh. I was ready.
What is up? Nothing much with me, personally. I just came home this weekend to see you guys.
That's right.
We had a big, eventful, celebratory Sunday. Mm-hmm. It was obviously Father's Day for right. everybody, mm-hmm. But it's also my younger brother's birthday. It was on Sunday, mm-hmm. The 20th, and it was also your mother's birthday, who lives with us.
That's right.
So it was three different people being celebrated on a big day mm-hmm. for them.
It was fun. And neither of us.
Neither of us. I felt a little attention neglected, but
yeah, we did all the heavy lifting.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. we did.
Yeah, went out, grabbed some bagels and stuff for breakfast. We walked at a lovely park that I didn't realize was going to turn out to be a 3-mile loop. Probably a little more than what I intended, but it was beautiful. Beautiful day, a little warm, but beautiful day. And that's it. It was a good day.
That's it.
And then you were here for another day after that. And then you've been taking public transit. So
I have been. Yeah, the past couple of weeks.
How was it? Was it busy?
It was not very busy. I don't know if that's just the time of day I went or whatever. But most people are good about wearing masks and stuff. And, I hadn't been on the LIRR for like a year and a half until I just did a couple of weeks ago for the first time and then again. So it was a little weird, but I'm glad that I don't have to rely on car transportation anymore to get back and forth. So that's good.
Me too, since it's me with the car.
Yes.
I've been back to the gym a few times. I went last night. This last time that I went to the gym, very few people are wearing masks, but I was, and whatever. Mm-hmm. It was good. Yeah, it's good to be back there.
At this point, it's hard to tell, you know, where people stand on all that mm-hmm. stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully everybody's vaccinated who's doing that. I'm glad that each week it feels like life is getting more and more back to normal. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Anything else new with you?
Nothing new. I just have for today. I have a pre-news segment, like a different topic, kind of sports news, but you know, not MNBA or WNBA. So I figured we would do that topic first. Because we have a couple of pieces there when it's time to do that.
Yes, and we'll get into that in just a second. First, I just want to plug our producer, Aaron Fern's new song, his new single out, Greedy. Go check it out on Spotify. It's awesome, just like all his other music is. So check that out. But let's get into our first segment of the day, which is sports news.
Sports news, right. Sports news of the week. So, we have a couple of things here. We'll save the most important for last. But first, we have Carl Nassib is the first openly gay active NFL player.
That's right. Yes.
So that's some exciting news. There, you know, it's people are asking on social media, why is this important? And then you continue to read comments and see how horrible people are. And you see why this is important, because just like with everything, representation matters. So congratulations to Carl for feeling comfortable enough and for his teammates and family to be so supportive that he felt comfortable enough to come out publicly.
Yeah. He is the first active NFL player to come out. There have been, I think, 12 players who have come out after their retirement. And Michael Sam is the most recent one who just, he got drafted and was out. He never played an NFL game.
Right.
So he was never an active player.
He did say some nice things to Carl on social media following Carl's video.
Yeah.
So that was nice. Nice support.
Right. And it's, you know, obviously we still have a long way to go. As you were saying, a lot of those comments on social media were pretty rough to see. But even just thinking back to Michael Sam a few years ago and then a few years before that, like anytime news of a celebrity coming out happens, I feel like the response gets better and better and more accepting from the general populace over time.
And I think more of the people who might have already been accepting and supportive of it, but might not have spoken up about their support, are speaking up more now. So when the trolls are out there saying terrible things, the supportive people are coming out to give support more vocally. So it's great.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know, brave thing for him to do. Very happy that he gets to, you know, live his truth now. And hopefully that will, you know, open the door for the next person. A lot of young people hopefully can look to that and say, you know, I'm gay. I want to be a professional athlete. I can do both of those things and I can be happy about it and out and proud. And and yeah, so.
Yeah, it's good news. So the next piece is that the Supreme Court made a ruling. They were discussing the NCAA issues and they made a ruling that I thought there was going to be more to it when I was hearing about what they were discussing. So they decided that the NCAA can't limit educational benefit, you know, rewards, gifts, whatever, for players, such as full scholarships and, you know, maybe a nice dorm room even, or full dorm payments, or, you know, things like that. They didn't specifically say that, and that colleges can offer like a Lamborghini, which was the NCAA's argument that if we let better educational things happen, then all these other things are going to happen too. And the Supreme Court was like, no, that doesn't make any sense. So we'll see if that happens, you know, if it makes sense or not, how that goes with the new ruling. But that it was a very important ruling that came out. I thought it was going to be more about college athletes being able to make money professionally through ads and commercials
Signing autographs, sponsorships
and things like that. But that wasn't part of this discussion. So I did think that was going to be part of it, but it wasn't.
I wonder if maybe the thought process on the Supreme Court side is like, we can open the door, we can have this ruling, and then that will allow for future things to happen. I don't know. But
could be. And then our third most important piece of sports news, related sports news, is that, again, our producer, Aaron, we're talking about him today.
Yeah. Newsworthy day for Aaron.
That's right. So he joined, what did he join, a basketball league?
Yeah, Aaron, if you want to step in here and tell us all about it.
Yeah, sure. So my cousin moved here from Nebraska, and he's 2 years older than me, and he's someone that I have, like, I didn't grow up around, like, I never really knew him, and he is a huge basketball guy, and he's played basketball forever, and so he's like, hey, I'm going to join a league, do you want to join with me? And I've never really played basketball before. I did a little bit in high school and, like, obviously growing up. But I've watched it a ton, so I was like, sure, might as well. And so I, like, practiced. Ever since, like, we signed up, I, like, practiced for a whole week and, like, prepared myself. So, it's a rec league in Nashville, and people take it very seriously. I didn't know how it was going to be, but when we showed up, my team got absolutely destroyed. We're a team of free agents. these guys, like, Jack, I'm a pretty big dude. Like, I'm 6'3".
Yeah.
I'm a pretty big guy. We were playing guys that bodied me. Like, they were, like, 5 or 6 inches taller than me and, like, just giant guys. And
oh, wow.
Like, where did you come from? Like, why are you not in the NBA? Like, I didn't know I was going to be playing NBA players. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. It should be definitely fun.
So it's 5-on-5, right? And it's you play once a week. Mm-hmm. And you, so you played your first game when, on Monday?
Yes. So we played our first game on Monday. It's basically like college basketball rules. And it's 20-minute halves like college is. And yeah, 5v5. And so we played our first game on Monday. Every team has a bye at some point in the schedule. Ours isn't for a few weeks, I think. But yeah, that's kind of the gist of how it's run and everything.
So we thought...
Does your team have a name?
We haven't picked one yet. Right now, we're just the free agents. So,
okay.
I don't know so how to bring it up to a bunch of dudes also. Just be like, hey, we got to choose our team name. Like, I don't know how to do that.
So we thought it would be fun to kind of track this throughout your season, Aaron, track both how your team does, how, you know, how the league is going overall, and your personal stats as well.
Yes, I would
love how did you do in that first game, just individually?
I actually shocked myself. I did much better than I thought I was. So my team, I'm just going to say how bad we got beat. So we got beat 80-38.
Oof.
Real bad.
Ouch. Wow.
And now I do want to say, like I said, none of us have ever played together before. I'm not a huge basketball like player, so I didn't expect myself to do well, but I had a quarter of our points. So I was I had 9 points.
Okay.
I was 4-for-6 from the field. So
that's pretty efficient.
Yeah.
So I was shocked. But that was the only thing I was really focused on in the game was shooting. I didn't play defense very well, obviously. None of us did. but yeah, I was shocked. And I had like 4 rebounds ish, but they were just so big that they got every single rebound. Like it was crazy.
Okay.
But so next season you will be drafted when you're getting a quarter of the points for the whole team.
Yeah, that's right. Hopefully. We got our all-star over here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. That's awesome. That's super exciting.
That's great.
So we're going to track that. I'm expecting big things from you this season, Aaron.
Okay, cool.
I want your average points in the double digits.
I'm going to be MIP, most improved player.
Yes. Yes. That's right. All right. So that's all. That'll be a fun thing for us to check in on each week. And yeah, so good luck to the free agents. We're pulling for you.
That's right.
All right.
You know,
here we go.
You know, in Jack's lifetime, he's made a lot of t-shirts for organizations he's in. So, you know, if you guys need like a team t-shirt or something, I think Jack's your man.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
We'll definitely be hitting him up once I decide how to talk to these guys about this team.
Good. Good. All right. Let's get into NBA news. Okay. Playoffs, of course, big news.
Mm.
So 3 series have ended since the last time we spoke.
Teams are gone.
Your teams are gone.
I'm so sad.
First of all, your beloved Philly 76ers lost in 7 games to the Hawks. So the Hawks are moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Many people are talking about that. So the 76ers whole thing was called the process. They were terrible for many, many years. They compiled draft picks. They got Joel Embiid, who's a cornerstone player. They got Ben Simmons, who's a cornerstone player.
And Joel Embiid calls himself the process.
Yes, that's sort of become, his own nickname.
Trust the
too.
Process. He's the process.
Right. A lot of people are saying that the day after that game was a couple of days ago, as of that day, the process is over. Many, many people are blasting Ben Simmons, I think for good reason. I think some of it is a little too far, but Ben Simmons had a terrible series. He had 7 straight bad fourth quarters. He looks like he's scared to shoot out there, which just hurts the team. And for years now, people have been talking about the fit with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons because they're both, even though Ben Simmons is technically a point guard, he's like 6'9", he's huge, And he's a great passer, but he's not a shooter at all. He like refuses to shoot. So he needs to, if he's scoring, he needs to be down around the rim. And Joel Embiid is, of course, a 7-foot center, you know, monster around the rim. So the two of them are kind of taking up each other's space because now they have two defenders covering each of them down in the paint when each of them are trying to score. So people have been saying for years that this doesn't fit, and they've been trying to make this work, and it feels like this is probably the point in which they are going to break up, the two of them.
So, but it's going to be Ben who probably is going to leave, right?
Yes, yes. Joel Embiid
is... That'll be hard for me to split up Joel Embiid from the 76ers.
No, there's no way that the Sixers would get rid of Joel. Joel is fantastic in this series. Okay. He's proved himself as one of the great players in this league, and versatile, and somebody who gets better every year. There are some injury concerns with him, as there are with every 7-footer, but Ben Simmons is most likely on the trade block this summer. And it's fascinating to me because Ben Simmons is a 3-time All-Star. He's a Defensive Player of the Year caliber player. He's a great point guard, great passer, but he has these huge, huge flaws in his game. So I'm fascinated to see what the market is for him, what kind of teams would be interested, what will the teams be willing to give up to trade for him. Mm-hmm. So that's
going to be... But he just might be a better fit for another team, right? He might have better chemistry with a different kind of makeup of a team.
I think the perfect team for him is he's pretty much playing center, even though he's a point guard. He's running the offense, but on defense, he's defending the opposing center, and he's just surrounded by four shooters around him.
Can I give a hot take?
Please, please.
Yeah.
I feel like Ben Simmons, out of all the teams in the NBA, he would do really well on the Bulls.
I have heard some Bulls rumors. They definitely have some assets that the Sixers could be interested in.
Because, like, they got shooters. Like, Zach LaVine is crazy.
And yes.
They just got, what's his name from Orlando?
Vucevic, yeah.
I feel like he would have no pressure on him, and that'd be really nice.
Yeah. No, because that's a great thing, because Vucevic, Lauri Markkanen are big guys, but they're more shooters than they are like post players. So Ben Simmons can fill that role around the paint while everybody else can be around him shooting. So,
you know, it'd be cool.
I think it's great. What?
If they trade Ben Simmons for Lauri Markkanen, because that's how he spelled my name.
Uh-huh.
And then if my name was on the 76ers...
What could
be better?
We'd have to shut this whole thing down. That
right? Just too much. That would be doing that like exploding head thing.
Oh, mind blowing. Got it. Yes. So we'll see what happens. I think the day after the game was probably the roughest day in Ben Simmons' career, and hopefully he can end up on a team where he's much better suited. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks Nets, incredible series, incredible 7-game series, went to overtime in game 7. Overtime game 7 is just the chef's kiss. KD was awesome throughout the whole series. He was awesome in that last game. He hit a buzzer beater game tying shot to send it to overtime. He was about 2 inches away from ending the Bucks season. His foot was on the 3-point line, so it was a 2-pointer. But had he been moved back just a little bit, he would have hit that 3 and Nets would be moving on. Went to overtime and the Bucks came out victorious. KD was awesome. Giannis was awesome. Unfortunately, as is the case with many of these series, injuries played a huge factor.
Too many injuries.
So we talked about it last time.
Is that how it always is? Are there always a lot of injuries in basketball?
There always are injuries.
Okay.
I don't know the exact numbers. It feels like this year there are way more injuries to star players.
Okay.
Where the 76ers and Hawks wasn't really affected by it, but Bucks Nets was affected by it. Suns Nuggets was affected by it. Clippers Jazz was affected by it. Lakers, like it feels like everybody had something going on where they were missing their first or second best player.
Yeah. And I know we're talking at MNBA right now, but there are a lot of injuries in WNBA too. I'm in a couple of social media groups about WNBA, and very often people are you know, trash talking other teams. And then people will respond and say, oh, but they would have won if they had X, Y, Z. I swear 5 times a week, someone says that, like, oh, but they're missing so-and-so and so-and-so. Otherwise they would have won. So like every team is missing important players due to injuries.
It sucks. It really does suck because we can't, we'll never know then mm-hmm. what would have happened had both teams right. been at full strength. You right. know, I mean, people are talking about like the Nets went to game 7 overtime with, you know, a 50% James Harden and no Kyrie Irving. What happens if all three of those guys are healthy? They're probably sweeping through these playoffs and winning the championship easily. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're not. Maybe they have a bad matchup and they lose to some team down the road, whatever it is. But that's what we want to see. We want to see teams go at full strength. Who is actually the better team? We don't want to say right. this team won by default.
Right.
So it's a weird, weird postseason this year.
Yeah.
And then Clippers Jazz also happened. We talked last week about Kawhi being injured. The Clippers still pulled it off without him. So they won that in 6. They immediately went into the Western Conference Finals against the Suns. They've already played 2 Western Conference Finals games. First game, the Suns won pretty easily. And then the second game was just last night. Very exciting game. Came down to the wire. Came down to a game-winning alley-oop. They're calling it the Valley-oop, which I think is a great name for that.
That's great.
They were even wearing their jerseys that say The Valley on it. So I think that's a perfect name for it, nice. For DeAndre Ayton. But those reviews, the official reviews of yeah. plays... somebody, I believe it was Nick Wright this morning on First mm-hmm. Things First, said that the last 90 seconds of game time, minute and a half of game time, took 33 minutes of real time.
Mm-hmm.
There were, I think, 5 reviews in that time, each taking multiple minutes.
Yeah. 7-8 minutes.
Ridiculous.
6-7 minutes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just... I understand wanting to get the call right, and we should always try to do that.
Why does it take that long? I mean, they could like slow it down to frame by frame and just look at it the very first time and see what happened.
Yeah, because they want, you know, they always want to look at what is this angle show? Oh, it looks a little different on this angle, and what's the time and whatever. This is why I was advocating 2 weeks ago for a sky yeah. judge yeah. to just.
You know, I don't really know a lot about basketball. So teams are allowed a certain number of timeouts, right?
Yes.
And a timeout can only last in a certain amount of time, right?
Right.
So why don't they do that with the reviews too? Like, okay, you can have a 10-second review. If you can't figure it out, you can't figure it out. 10 seconds, that's what you get.
Yeah, I think the league would say back to you, well, the point of having a review is to get the call right. So if we can't figure it out in 20 seconds, then what's the point of having a review? But I agree with you. There mm-hmm. should be a time limit, and the way to speed that up is to get a sky judge. Also, the way to speed this up is to not have to review every single close play.
Yeah.
Trust the referees. If they say, you know, whatever, something was out. This is also the problem. Also, another point Nick Wright had this morning. There was a play in which Patrick Beverley was defending Devin Booker. He knocked the ball out of bounds. For the first 46 minutes of the game, the defender knocks the ball out of the other player's hands. It's off of the defender. The offense just gets to take it back side out of bounds. They get possession. If you really slow it down, many of those plays, it rolls off the offensive player's pinky, as it's being knocked out of their hands, and they're technically the last one to touch it. Mm-hmm. So for 46 minutes, that's the offense keeps the ball, you know, reset the shot clock, and here we go. The last 2 minutes, because it's a close play, we review it, and sometimes it goes the other way. So there's literally different rules being applied within the same game.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes 6 minutes to get it figured out. So
yeah,
it's just, it's enough. It's too much. Too much.
Enough. Maybe we could start a campaign, a social media campaign.
Okay.
What do you think?
Hashtag enough, like something like that?
I don't know. We'll have to think about it. We'll do that. We'll think about it.
Okay. So that's the playoffs. So we have both the conference finals are set. Bucks and Hawks kicks off tonight. Suns and Clippers are already 2 games in with the Suns up 2-0. So we'll see what happens from there. Okay, draft lottery just happened yesterday. So we found out what the order of the draft is going to be in late July. The Detroit Pistons ended up with the first overall pick. It is expected that they will probably pick Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State. He's sort of the consensus number one pick this year. And then Houston Rockets, Cleveland Cavaliers, Toronto Raptors, and Orlando Magic make out the rest of the top five draft picks.
And that's in July, right?
That's in July. I think it's like a week or two after the season ends. But the lottery is always interesting because it's a lottery. So it's not just based on your record. The teams with the worst records have the best chance of getting high picks, but sometimes they don't. Like Oklahoma City had a terrible record this year, but they ended up with the sixth pick. The Timberwolves, I think, were maybe last in the Western Conference, and they don't have a first-round pick because of this lottery.
Because of this lottery?
There's a bunch of crazy rules with trades where, like, if you trade a pick to somebody else, you can protect it. So you can say, this has a top 10 protection. So if we trade it to you and this pick ends up being the 12th pick, you keep the pick. But if it's protected, if it ends up being the 9th pick, we get the pick. And then it's figured out that later on, you get later compensation. But so there was a trade between the Golden State Warriors and the Minnesota Timberwolves revolving Andrew Wiggins and D'Angelo Russell last year, which involved this pick. So had the, I don't remember exactly what the rules are, but had the pick been at a certain point, the Timberwolves would have kept that pick and, you know, had a high draft pick. But instead, because of the way the lottery shook out, the Warriors got to keep it. And so they're going to be picking towards the top of the draft. So,
all right. That still sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher to me, but okay. You know what I'm saying? But okay.
Yes. For basketball, I figure out new things every year. You know, 3 years ago, draft lottery went over my head. Now I'm starting to get more hang of it. Like I said, I'm still not completely clear on all the trade rules and stuff, but more time, we'll get it. All right. The men's Olympic basketball team was set for USA. This whole week, we've had a bunch of stories that are like, this person has committed, this person has committed, oh, that now they've dropped out, now this person's committed. But just today, it was finalized 12-person roster.
Okay.
Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard, Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Zach LaVine, Kevin Love, Bam Adebayo, Draymond Green, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Jeremy Grant.
Any rookies?
No, let's see. Who is the youngest? Youngest player, I believe, is Jason Tatum, who will be going into his fourth year. So, yeah.
What do you think?
It's a fantastic team. I don't think that any of the other countries would be able to compete with that. But there has been more and more international players in recent years. Unfortunately, many not from the same country, so they'll all be split up. I like the USA's chances. It's going to be weird not seeing LeBron there. I understand why he won't be there, but it's a stacked team, and I don't have any major problems with it.
All right.
And then coaching stuff. Since last time we talked, Rick Carlisle stepped down from the Mavericks head coaching position.
Did that make it 7?
I think so.
Or did that make it? I can't remember if last week was 6 and this makes it 7, or last week was 7. I can't remember.
No, yeah, I can't remember either. I want to say that made it 7.
Okay.
But that number quickly went down to 6 because today, Boston hired Ime Udoka, who's been an assistant coach in the league for many years, to be their next head coach.
Where most recently?
Most recently, Brooklyn.
Okay.
He was an assistant with the Spurs for, I want to say, like 7 years, something like that. And then he was with Philly for 1 or 2 years, and then Brooklyn, and then now his first head coaching job. Now, he is a Black man, so this will add some diversity to the coaching ranks, so that's good. And I've been hearing about this guy for years. He's been in these rumors for many, many years. Apparently he's, you know, whip smart and really knows what he's doing. And a lot of teams have been interested for a long time. So here he gets this opportunity with a great team. So,
yeah, I have two more MNBA newses.
Okay.
I hear that Chris Paul is going to be returning for game three.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Yes. I think at this point it's like, if all goes well, but he did clear protocols. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's any reason why he can't be there for game three.
And the Harlem Globetrotters want to be in the NBA.
Yes. Yes, they do.
They're pretty vocal about it.
They've
been an exhibition team, but they've had some big names over the years, big NBA names there. And now they want to be, I don't know what that means. They want to be in the NBA. They're an exhibition team, but they just want to be recognized. They want to be what? They want to
be in that contract.
So their players get paid NBA pay. Like what is it? Does someone have to sponsor? I don't know what it means. Does someone have to sponsor them? I have so many questions.
Yeah. I don't know what it takes to get a already established team to become a team. I don't know if that has ever happened, but I think they're petitioning to become the 31st NBA team. You know, probably added to the Eastern Conference and, you know.
And then they would play the NBA teams?
That's what they're petitioning for. This isn't going to happen. But yeah,
And they play their fun music and do all their fun tricks and everything?
There may be some things they'd have to adapt because I don't think everything they do is necessarily NBA legal.
I would go to see one of those games.
I would too. That'd be super entertaining.
Yeah.
But like you said, like they're not just entertainers. Like they're real basketball players.
Yes, they are.
Those guys. And incredibly skilled basketball players. I don't think on the level of the NBA, because if they were that, then they would probably want to be paid NBA salaries. But it would be fascinating to see the Harlem Globetrotters go up against an NBA team. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to WNBA.
That's right. So one thing is that USA Olympics picked their 3x3 team. Is it called 3x3, 3x3, 3x3? What's it called?
3-on-3?
It's 3x3 is how it's written. That's why I said 3x3, because that's like, that sounds more like how you measure a board or something, though.
Yeah. Sure.
It's played with a 12-second shot clock on a half court. Baskets inside the arc and free throws are worth 1 point, and baskets made from outside the arc are worth 2 points. The winner is the first team to score 21 points or the leading team at the end of the 10-minute game clock. Each team consists of four players, three on the court and one sub. So they have picked four. So Stephanie Dolson from Chicago, Alicia Gray from the Wings, Kelsey Plum from the Aces, and Katie Lou Samuelson from the Storm.
It's I believe this is a new Olympic sport this year for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting, the scoring method, because if you think about it, like in the leagues that we know, a three-pointer is worth one more than a two-pointer, and it's the same in this, but an equivalent three-pointer is double the amount of points as a one-pointer, where it's less valuable in the leagues that we know. So I'd assume you'd see more 2 point, you know, quote, air quotes going on right now, 2 point shots, because it's that's way more valuable in this style of play.
It's the scoring, just it's at, when the first team to reach XYZ points, it just sounds like Quidditch to me. So I hope it's that fun.
I think the playoffs
or finals or whatever of it are like the third week in July, with the last final game being like July 28th or something.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, those rules are like, I mean, different places do different things, but those are more similar to like street ball rules, playing a 21, 2 and 1 point shot. So that's going to be fascinating. I don't think I've ever watched a 3-on-3 game. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Commissioner's Cup. We have, so I don't understand this. So Connecticut is in first place and Chicago's in second, but Connecticut's 4-1 in their Commissioner's Cup games and Chicago is 6-2. So Chicago's played 8 games and Connecticut's played 5. So how can you compare who is in? Is it like a fraction? Like if we looked at the 6-2, that's more like a 3-1 as opposed to the 4-1? I don't know.
Yeah, winning percentage. Yep, exactly.
Oh, that's what it is? Yep. All right. But eventually everyone will have played the same number of games. So eventually we'll, you know, this will even out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, that's right.
And in the West, the Storm is still dominating. And the regular season standings, we have interesting. You had told me, I think, that the teams are all, the standings are league-wide.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like 1-6 in the West and 1-6 in the East. It's league-wide. But interestingly, number 1 and 2 are in the West and 3 and 4 are in the East.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Storms and Aces, Storm and Aces in the West, Sun and Mystics in the East, and my Libs are in 6th place, which is good. How many did you tell me are going to make the playoffs or the first round or whatever?
I believe it's 8 total teams make the playoffs, okay. I believe.
All right, so we're going to get there.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah.
They have a rough week this week, though, but.
Rough week? Who are we playing?
They played the Sky last night.
Oh, yeah. That didn't go
so well. And they're playing them again this week. Yeah.
Yeah. Candace Parker.
Yeah.
With no Natasha Howard, that's rough.
Maybe Candace needs to go and practice her analyst stuff for the Olympics and just she might be busy and just not play.
That is a good point, Mom.
So, people have to rehearse.
Yeah, make that suggestion. Definitely. I'm sure she'll listen.
Start a campaign for that too.
Yeah.
And WNBA, as always, is on the forefront of social justice, and they are showing up to their games with their voting rights activism T-shirts, Protect Our Freedom to Vote T-shirts. They're pairing up with Rock the Vote with the Freedom to Vote campaign. And as always, they are working hard on that. And we have also, just speaking of social justice, ESPN's Next 30 for 30 is about Maya Moore and her break from the WNBA in order to focus very, strongly on social justice.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Maya Moore, she is one of 11 women's players or former women's players who have joined the Jordan brand. It was just announced this week. So that list of players is Maya Moore, Kia Nurse, Asia Durr, Satu Sabli, Chelsea Dungy, Ariel Powers, Crystal Dangerfield, Aurelia Karen Garantes, Taya Cooper, Jerika Hamby, and Jordan Canada have all announced sort of a partnership with the Jordan brand, which is the largest. The Jordan brand now has the largest amount of women's basketball players signed to their brand company, whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So exciting stuff. They had a whole ad campaign that went out. And on the road to, we talked about, I don't know how long ago, but getting more women signature shoes.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can get there pretty soon.
The more the better.
Yes. And then the women's Olympic team was also finalized, the 5-on-5 team. So that team is Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, Sylvia Fowles, Tina Charles, Brittany Griner, Brianna Stewart, Jewel Lloyd, Asia Wilson, Ariel Atkins, Nafisa Collier, Skylar Diggins-Smith, and Chelsea Gray. What do you think?
I think they picked a lot of good ones, but I think that they, and also some of the higher scorers in the league are playing for other countries. So Courtney Vandersloot is playing for Hungary. Liz Cambage is Australian.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other players are playing for other countries. But a glaring omission is Arike Ogunbowale.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And Neka Ogumike.
Yeah. I have stuff on both of them later. I'm sure you do, too. I don't know how much we want to do now and how much we want to do later, but
later.
No, okay, so none now. Okay.
Yeah. No, later. We gotta, make them wait for it.
Okay. So stay tuned for our last segment to find out why those two and some others might be some glaring omissions and why mm-hmm. some other stuff. Wait till then.
What might happen?
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? WNBA?
Nope.
Okay. Let's move on to our second segment of the day, our movie review of Full Court Miracle.
So last week we watched The Mighty Max.
Yep.
Which is about Immaculata.
Yep.
A Catholic girls' school. So this week we watched Full Court Miracle, which is a boys' yeshiva team.
Sure
yeshiva,
was.
Yeshiva being a Jewish boys' day school.
Yes.
This is a Disney Channel movie, and it's specifically in the genre of Disney Channel Hanukkah original.
Which I did not know was a genre. Mm-hmm. But
I'm going to have to look and see what else is in that genre. But, you know, we talked last week about what the word cute means in relation to performances. And for me, this was definitely cute.
It was
cute.
This was whatever worse than cute is.
Aww, it was cute.
To be fair.
It was so cliched. It was so stereotypical.
To
but
be
people
fair,
don't get the Jews all the time.
That's what
it's
I was
nice
going
to
say.
The Jews out there.
There are not many Hanukkah movies. So,
Rugrats, or is that Passover? I don't know.
I think that's Passover. Yeah.
Yeah, and this movie actually had really, absolutely, almost nothing to do with Hanukkah. So,
yeah, it was just layered on top of it.
And it also, it didn't work seasonally because there was a little bit of Hanukkah in there.
Uh-huh.
You know, the kid got a gift, but meanwhile, it allegedly takes place in Philly and they are playing basketball outside at the exact same time, without their heavy winter coats on. So, you know, it was a little mashup. So basically what happens is we've got this Jewish boys' day school called the Yeshiva that has a team which, surprise, surprise, they are not good basketball players.
Yes. Uh-huh.
They score very well on their PSATs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Some parents are doctors. You know, if we want to just throw
lawyers,
in all the stereotypes, we could do that. We've got a parent who really is pressuring her kid to get rid of basketball and focus. You know, he's like 14 now, seriously. Time to mature and become a doctor. So.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I don't like that the women were the bad guys. That annoyed me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that there is fact embedded in this movie?
What does that mean?
It's not like based on a true story.
I knew that.
But it kind of is. So what happens in this movie is there's this really terrible boys basketball team from a Jewish boys day school. And one kid, what's his name? Josh?
Alex.
Alex? Why did I think he was? That's another Jewish name. Alex is a...
Just to remind everybody, both of us are Jewish. I just want to put that out there.
Yes, yes, yes.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So he likes basketball a lot and he's pretty good at it. But the rest of his team really stinks. And, you know, they really cast the people who they thought would visually represent a really bad Jewish boys basketball team. And they happened to discover this athletic adult black man playing basketball near them who seems to be very good. And they trick him into being their coach and coaching them into the finals. There's a big tournament coming up in 2 weeks. So they have 2 weeks to get ready. And he is there to whip them into shape. So they are great. But the guy's name, the guy who becomes their coach, his name, the character's name is Lamont Carr. And Lamont Carr was actually a real person who this character went to UVA. And Lamont Carr, the real person, went to UVA and was actually the first African-American basketball player to graduate from UVA.
Oh, I didn't know any
of this. And Lamont Carr went on to coach a Boca Raton, Florida, Jewish boys' day school basketball team. And two boys whose names I don't remember told this story of, you know, they had this coach who was a former basketball player, and much better than they were. And this is how it got made into a movie. Interestingly, this movie, like I said, it was supposed to take place in Philly Hebrew Day School, whatever it was called. Most of the actors in it were Canadian. It was filmed in Toronto. And there was an actual basketball player in it who was a Toronto Raptor.
Yeah, I was wondering why Toronto Raptor would be, because he was wearing his Raptors jersey, would be just playing with Lamont in a park somewhere.
In Philly.
In Philly. Uh-huh. But I guess I guess that makes sense now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about what you thought about it, Jack.
Different kind of basketball movie. You said it wasn't really about Hanukkah. I don't think it wasn't. There wasn't really. There was a lot of basketball scenes, but there wasn't a lot of basketball like technique or talk or knowledge at all. It was just kind of go run up and down. There was no, you know.
Well, the big, so, you know, for our listeners who might not be familiar with the Hanukkah miracle, there was some religious persecution going on by a ruling political party, and a small group of Jews who were a family known as the Maccabees, which means hammer, who hid out in the wilderness and attacked by surprise and had kind of, you know, guerrilla tactics and beat their oppressors so that they could continue to have religious freedom. So this is, you know, the reason that it's 8 days long is allegedly when they recaptured their temple, there was only 1 day worth of oil for the lamp, but it lasted for 8 days. So there was actually some basketball technique using the Maccabees. You know, they dug tunnels and only made them go to the right, so people had to defend with the left, and that was what they decided to do, is have a surprise attack. Is that good basketball skills?
For a Jewish boys' school, sure. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then there was a huge tie-in. I don't want to give away the ending because I know everyone is going to want to watch it.
Yeah. The ending will shock you. But there was a
huge tie-in to that little tale that I just told.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We had sort of the opposite of the nuns thing that I was talking about last week, just with the rabbi this time. Rabbi being a big basketball fan. That's funny. You know, good so comedy funny. There. Yeah. Good comedy.
And, you know, the rabbi with the stereotypical kind of Orthodox accent.
Yes. Yes.
The more religious you are, the more likely you are to have that interesting accent.
Rabbi had a lot of jobs. He was like number one fan of the team. He was head teacher, like
rabbi.
He was in charge of like hiring people as well. So
he had to like run interference with the board, with the principal, everything.
Yeah, and he was also inserted himself to help Lamont.
Yes.
You know, fake where he was living too. So
right. Yeah.
Very very involved rabbi we had.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That is a rabbi.
Okay. Anything else from you about this movie? Oh,
there was a great dreidel song.
There was a great dreidel hip hop song.
Which is not, I looked on Spotify. It is not on there. I have to find it and somehow put that where I can own it, because I think that is going to be a family favorite from here on out.
It was good. It was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good one.
It's
called Spin Ya Like a Dreidel.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you found the title. Yeah, we'll find it somewhere.
This was nominated for an award by the Writers Guild of America.
What award?
Best Children's Script.
I'd have to look at what else was nominated that year, but
it didn't win. I mean, come on. But it was nominated in 2003.
So, wow.
And Disney was like, if you liked this movie, here's another one. And it's called, and I hadn't heard of this one, a new one to put on our list, Luck of the Irish.
Oh, you haven't heard of Luck of the Irish?
I haven't. It says something like, this guy's a basketball player, but what if he's a leprechaun?
Yes, that was a big one for us, for our generation. This one, this one's a little before our time. I was, you know, four or five when this came out. That one I remember being big among us. So
we're going to be adding that one to the list.
Great. I can't wait. Then there's, of course, the most famous Disney Channel original movie, which is also a basketball movie.
The most famous movie ever.
High School Musical.
Right.
Is that what you were referring to?
Not High School Musical 2.
That one is less basketball than the first one, but
more golf.
We can explore. We can explore baseball. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Do you have a favorite and least favorite on this? You don't have to.
The Spin You Like a Dreidel song was absolutely my favorite. And the Women as the Bad Guys was my least favorite.
There you go. I don't.
You don't. You hated this movie so much.
What's your rating?
2.
1.
Oh. So this is our next to lowest rated, just above The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
Yes, because this was not a better, The Wolves was a bad movie. This was not a better movie than The Wolves to me. So it had to be lower than that. Mm-hmm. So that's a 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what are we watching next week?
Double Teamed.
Check it out. And we're going to move into our last segment of the day, which is called The Other All-Stars.
Pew, 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 pew.
Good job. Thanks. I was trying to think of a name that's like, you know, because like often Olympic teams are called the Dream Team. I think that started with the 92 men's team, but like that's been used for many different Olympic teams because it's, you know, the best of our country. So I was trying to think of like another word that rhymed with dream that could go for what we're talking about, but I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're talking about is, we talked about last week, the WNBA All-Star Game this year has a different format. It's the Team USA, literally the Olympic team, versus everybody else.
The people who were picked for the Olympic team, which last week we didn't know who those people would be.
Uh-huh.
And then the team they are versing, which is not a word, but kids love that word, is?
Everybody else.
Everybody
either,
else.
Either non-Americans or the next best American players.
Right. Or according to the playing for international teams.
Yes. So that's according to the selection committee. So basically what we did is we each came up with our team of 12. The 12 mm-hmm. players who are not on Team USA who we think either they deserve to be All-Stars or we think they will be All-Stars. And they'll mm-hmm. play for this Team WNBA in the All-Star game. It's not a draft. Now, we probably have some overlap.
Right. You had said, and we can talk about why. I'm not going to be good at that because my why for pretty much all of them is, well, because she's good.
Okay. Well, hopefully we do have a lot of overlap because I have some like statistical things for each of them. But
I have a couple of those, but most of them is because she's good.
So if we overlap, which I'm sure we will do a lot, then we'll just both talk about them and then move on to the next person.
Yes.
So you go for I always get accused of stealing your picks in these kind of games that we do. So you go first so you can get your person that you don't want me to steal.
Okay, Nneka Ogwumike.
Okay. Why?
Cuz she's good. Because everyone says she should have been on the Olympic team and she was robbed.
Yes. Yes.
That's all I got.
Okay. Yes. This seemed like the most glaring omission. I think the thing that really put it all in perspective was her sister, who's a teammate of hers, mm-hmm. Chine, tweeted out a bunch of her accomplishments and her thoughts on why this was wrong for the team or the selection committee not to ask her.
Mm-hmm.
So Nneka has won 2 FIBA gold medals for Team USA, including winning MVP of the last Olympic qualifying tournament for Team USA. So she was the best player on Team USA in a non-Olympic tournament. She's the only currently playing MVP of the WNBA who has not been selected for an Olympic team. She has gone to every Team USA camp over the last 5 years. She's the president of the Players Association in the WNBA. I know that's not directly related to the Olympics, but she's clearly a well-liked, well-known, well-respected player among women's players in America. She's also, she's only played 5 games so far this year, so I'm not sure if she actually will be an all-star, but in those 5 games, she's averaging 16 points and 7 rebounds. She's a fan favorite. A lot of casual fans know who she is. And as I said, she has represented Team USA very well for many years now, and she's 31 years old. So the next Olympics that come around, she's going to be, I think they said she'll be 34 next time the Olympics come around. There are some oldies on this year's team, but like, who knows, you know, this might've been her last chance. So,
So just speaking of the oldies on the team, so they didn't announce who alternates are, but I imagine they will announce that. So like if Diana Taurasi is not ready to play and they have to pick an alternate, someone asked on social media today if you were NECA and they were like, hey, Diana can't play. Want to play? What would you say if you were her? Would you say, yeah, it's the Olympics, I'll play? Or would you be like, you know what?
Well, I know what I would say, which is yes. But
I'm not saying you would blame her for saying something opposite of what you'd say. I'm just wondering what you'd say.
Yeah, if somebody asked me in my position, in my life, in my mind space, yes, of course, I'm going to the Olympics. This might be my last shot. Yes, absolutely. But I also haven't been sort of burned by this selection in the first place. Right. So I understand if there's a different feeling there.
Yeah. All right, go ahead. Who do you have?
Okay. I'm picking the villain.
Oh, Courtney Vandersloot. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, what?
How could you go with her?
Why?
Well, let me ask you a question. So, and this isn't about her specifically, but the All-Star Game's on July 14th. So, like, is someone who's playing for another country going to be, by that country, allowed to come here and play an All-Star Game?
I don't know how soon after the All-Star Game would they does Team USA have to be in Tokyo?
Okay. All right.
I'm assuming I'm assuming it's probably the same for every country. So, I mean, they may, like, her who's playing for a different country might choose not to participate in the All-Star Game, even if selected, because she's getting ready for that. But So Courtney Vandersloot, is she also on your list?
She is.
Okay.
We're really going to have pretty much the same people. I have a couple who I know you're not going to have, but.
So she's been consistently the best point guard in the league for a couple of years now. She's leading the league in assists this year. She's second in steals. So she's a great defensive guard as well. As you said, she's playing for Team Hungary. So that's why, you know, she would have definitely been on Team USA if she, cause she, a couple of years ago, like became a Hungarian citizen specifically for these, for this reason to play for them. So I would assume that she would definitely be on Team USA had she not already been playing for Hungary, but I don't know.
Or she assumes she wouldn't have been and wanted to play in the Olympics. And one thing people are complaining about. Like, so now some of these players who are good, who are thinking, oh, I might not get picked even though I'm good, I'm going to go play for another team, which is going to, in the future, water down Team USA.
That's true. Anything else on Courtney Vandersloot?
No, and I just want to point out she's a villain because she crushed my beloved Liberty last summer in the bubble. So, you know, I don't have anything against her personally. Right. Nothing against her personally. Just, you know, she helped to break my heart.
Okay. Who's your next person?
Banaja Laney.
Knew that was coming.
Number 5 in points of all the players this season, averaging 19.8 points a game. Rock star, most improved player, even if she didn't have that title, most improved player. She is, as Coach Walt says, she is hungry.
Yeah.
She's my pick.
She also on my team, not surprisingly. She's been the clear-cut star for an overachieving Liberty team. as you said, fifth leading scorer. She's also averaging 5 assists a game, which is the highest among any forwards in the league. Mm-hmm. So she's not only scoring, she's also getting her teammates involved and creating shots for her teammates. So, and she's also she's always been a great defensive player. That has not changed this year either. So, yeah, definitely. Okay. I'm going to pick, well, it's not picking, but I all next person on my list who you mentioned earlier, Erike Ogunbowale. Is that okay if I go with her now?
Yes.
She's the fourth.
You're good because the two who I wouldn't want you to name, you're not going to name. So we're good with alternating now.
Okay. She's the fourth leading scorer in the league, one just above Banaja. She's also made the most 3-pointers in the league this year.
She's averaging 20.3 points.
She's young, which I assume is the reason why she's not on Team USA because she's
right. I asked about that when you were talking about the Team USA for the men's, if there were any rookies, because the USA women's team is skewing older or more veteran like,
yeah,
very much more veteran like. So
she's quickly established herself as one of the top players in the league. I'm assuming the only reason she's not on the team is because she's young. She's definitely going to be a Team WNBA All-Star. Mm-hmm. Okay, who's next for you?
Next for me is number 2 point getter at 21.6 average points per game, Jonquel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Number two. She gets a lot of points. We should put her on the team. She sure
does. We talked about her as a possible MVP candidate earlier in the year. Now, she has been gone doing the Eurobasket thing, so I'm not sure if she would still qualify for that, but definitely. She's also the top rebound, has the most rebounds in the league as well. She's fifth in field goal percentage and third in three-point percentage. So she's just having an all-around fantastic season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. My next one will be Liz Cambage.
I also have Liz.
She's obviously a top player. She'll be playing for her native Australia. She's second in the league in blocks and field goal percentage. She has the most points per game of any non-American player, non-American born player. Because I think Jonquel Jones is born American, but might be playing for Bosnia because that's what she has been playing in Eurobasket. I don't know. And the Aces are one of the top teams in the league, you know, in thanks to, many other players, but a lot on her.
My turn?
Yep.
I'm going to go with Candace Parker, who I think is my defensive player of the year pick.
Mm-hmm.
Candace is doing... is an analyst for the Olympics and so is not playing in the Olympics. And so therefore will be on my Team WNBA.
Yeah, she's awesome. I actually, looking back, I don't have her. The reason I didn't is because I was like, she's only played 7 games. She's been injured for a lot, but I had Nneka Ogumike, so I should have. So I think that's a good pick. Okay. Trying to remember who everybody picked so far. Okay. Next one I'm going with is Brianna Turner from Phoenix. She's fourth in blocks per game. She's third in field goal percentage. She's been absolutely destroying the paint with rebounds and field goals around the rim. I think she leads the league in field goals around the rim. So down there in the paint, she's just dominant.
I do not have her on my list.
Okay.
First one.
All right. You're up.
I'm going to pick Kayla McBride, and I really don't know why, other than the fact that I think that Kayla was playing for an international team and was late to come back this year, and everyone was like, wait till Kayla McBride gets back. So I was like, oh, Kayla must be pretty good. So there's my reason.
Must be an all-star then. Okay.
Cool. I think Kayla was in the finals of whatever international, a winner.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm going with my next one is Jonquel Jones's Connecticut teammate, Dawana Bonner.
I also have Dawana.
She's been averaging 17 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists, completely well-rounded season on one of the best teams in the league. So that pretty simple for me. She's been awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, who's next for you?
I'm not going to say all of my final three picks, but what I'm going to say are that my final three picks are all from the same team.
Okay.
So the first one I'm going.
I have a feeling on which team
that might be. You do?
Yes, I do.
Whoa. Well, my first one I'm going to say is Sammy Whitcomb.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. From the New York Liberty. Sammy Whitcomb is excellent. A starter, a hard worker, really good. There you go.
She's not on my team. She just barely missed the cut because she has been awesome this year. Mm-hmm. Aside from statistical accomplishments, just watching the games, you can tell how great of a leader she is. Mm-hmm. She's always, you know, telling her teammates what to do, pointing things out. She's always high energy, always brings 100%. So I have loved watching her play.
That is a lot like what Lamont Carr was encouraging Alex to do in Full Court Miracle. So I don't know why you didn't like that movie.
You're right. Sammy Whitcomb is the Lamont Carr of the Liberty.
No, Sammy is the Alex of the Liberty.
Oh, Sammy's the Alex of the Liberty.
The leader on the court.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. My next one will be... Okay, so I don't think we'll have any overlap because I don't have any more Liberty. Mm-hmm. My next one will be Marina Mabry from mm-hmm. the Dallas Wings. Mm-hmm. Many people are talking about her as possibly winning most improved this year. She's fifth in three-pointers made. She's averaging 5 rebounds per game as a guard. That's really mm-hmm. good. I think she's second among guards in rebounds. And she has played, I remember when the Liberty played the Wings, I was like, oh my God, she's really, really good. Mm-hmm. So I think that she should be an all-star.
Okay, my next one is Jazz Jones.
Whoa. Because
I have her jersey. So, you know,
you'll have something to wear during the all-star mm-hmm. game.
That's right. So I won't have to spend money on something new in order to root for my team.
Jazz Jones, who is both of our picks for most improved this year. Mm-hmm. And she had a little bit of a rough start to the season, but in the past couple of games, she's really come alive. Her scoring's been increasing. She's playing good defense. So, all right, my next one, I'm going with Erica Wheeler from the Sparks. She's just a good, solid player. She's averaging 13, 3, and 5. She's been keeping the Sparks afloat while the Ogwumike sisters have been out. Just a good, solid player. So, mm-hmm. yep.
And for my last pick, I think you can probably guess... And she's technically not from that same team, but she was from that team, is Leija Clarendon.
Oh, didn't see that one coming.
My favorite player
uh-huh.
in the entire time that I've been a fan of the WNBA, Leija has been my favorite player.
That's right.
So I picked them as my final pick for the team WNBA.
Okay. I don't know how this happened. I have two more. I'm guessing just we overlapped lost count.
Yeah.
But so my second to last is Courtney Williams from the Atlanta Dream. She has the most points per game of anyone that has not already made the Olympic team or that I have not already mentioned. Mm-hmm. So she's a high scorer. She's averaging 17-7-4 as a guard. She has the most rebounds per game of any guard in the league. Second is Marina Mabry. She's the best mid-range player in the game. Her mid-range efficiency is ridiculous. She's a tenacious defender. And there's also a place on the WNBA website where you can look at players' stats in the clutch. And I think that is considered like last 5 minutes of a game that's within 5 points of each other or something like that. Like the teams are within 5 points. So when the game really counts, mm-hmm. She's averaging the second most points per game in clutch moments. So she's a definition of clutch. So I think she would be a great all-star. And my last one is Tiara McCowan from the Indiana Fever. Ooh. She's been one of the few bright spots. Ooh.
They are not doing well.
For a pretty bad team, but she's been averaging 11-9. She's a monster on the boards, and she's a great offensive center. I didn't really have many centers on my list, so I thought that she would be a good addition to that. Mm-hmm. So that's those are the who we think should be or will be the WNBA All-Stars.
And I guess we'll find out soon who they will be within the next couple of weeks.
I think they said voting closes on the 27th, which is 4 days from now.
So. Okay. So get in there and vote.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
So that will do it for episode 26. Send in questions, comments, movie thoughts, and guest suggestions to familycourtvision@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @FamCourtVision, and don't forget to subscribe or follow on Google Podcasts, Spotify, and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next week on Family Court Vision,
the mother of all basketball podcasts.